Welcome back to the Discovering Forestry podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Lofi, alongside the star of the show, our friend, Mr. Arbor Joe Aitken, here for another compelling conversation about trees. Joe, first recording of the new year. We're doing this here on January 2. How's the new year treating you?
No complaints yet. It's early, you know. It was such a busy holiday season that it's hard to believe that it came and went. But man, I'm exhausted. We even got into it. This is our first quarter is busy, and usually you're supposed to relax during that brief moment in time. But man, I never relaxed. I'm wore out. I'm tired.
It's all right.
But excited about tonight. I'm always excited to talk to you about the industry. We've had some really amazing guests on recently, and I was our last guest, Dr. Emily. We had a wonderful conversation about this industry and some of the things that she's got going on. And it just kind of reminded me that how neat and amazing this industry is. And if it's urban forestry, arboriculture, or traditional forestry, there's still a lot more we can do to improve what we do. And with that said, I was walking around at an antique bookstore, and I found a pamphlet. It was put out in 1961 by the Cranbrook Institute of Science on bird mortality in the Dutch elm disease program. So our listeners can't see this pamphlet, but George Wallace, I think we might have talked about this, was the professor at Michigan State that noticed all the robins dying on campus, and it was due to the DDT spraying for Dutch elm disease in the 50s, and it started causing a bird mortality. And they wrote the one famous book called Silent Springs because of it.
Rachel Carson.
So, yeah, Rachel Carson. So I got actually one of the transcripts, and on the back is a dead bird laying on the ground. But you and I have an important position in the industry to make sure that we bring products to market for issues that we face in the tree care industry. So that kind of sets us up for today, our special guest today, and how he got into what he does for the industry. And I think it'll be a neat talk. So why don't you take this opportunity to make the introduction, and we'll get rolling. I said, we don't have to talk about dead birds or nothing like that. But we could talk about the industry and the need for more people to do what we do.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. More people to do what we do, more people to ultimately shift the paradigm of how things have been done. Because there's a way that we've done it. Maybe there's a way that the listeners, some of your parents or your grandparents did it, but there's always these small tweaks and changes that inspire or can inspire change for the better and progression. So tonight's guest, I actually met back in probably 2010, 2011, somewhere around there. We were both studying at the University of Wisconsin at Stevens Point. But Casey and I, our guest tonight, were reacquainted at TCI Expo in St. Louis this fall. And I thought it'd be great to kind of catch up with him, see where his life has been, see what he's doing with his career, and hear about some of the changes that he's making to the industry. So without any further ado, Casey from Arb Session, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Hey guys, how's it going? Doing really good. So, yeah, excited to be here.
Well, Casey,
fantastic. I think what's funny thing, real quick, right? Yeah. The listeners don't realize that Casey's still working his butt off. He's still at the shop. That's, you know, that shows a lot. of
yep.
getting her in a dome.
Yeah, still at the warehouse. Every once in a while, there's later days, later nights, just planning, preparing, and honestly, just love it. So it's not really like it's still being at work. You know what I mean? It's the arborist industry is what it is. So once you get sucked in, you're in.
Well, let's talk about that. How did you get sucked in? Obviously, you know, we talked a little bit about meeting you in Stevens Point at school, but let's hear about it. How did you get into trees? Why trees?
So yeah, basically, my dad did it and, still does it. So I'm actually a second generation arborist. I was the oldest of, three, and I was the one that was pulled out of bed on Saturday mornings to go drag brush. So, hated it then, but grew to love it. And, long story short, went to college on a running scholarship in a little no-name college in Dubuque, Iowa. And then that didn't pan out. And then thought, hey, I'm good at building Legos and Kinects as a kid, so let's try engineering at the UW-Milwaukee. And actually got really good at the original Modern Warfare on PlayStation. And pretty much thought that this is probably not a wise career path, although, you know, you still see the esports now, so it's like, you know, you never,
yeah,
you know, could have been, right? No.
Yeah.
But then I started doing some searching, found out about Mid-State Technical College and their urban forestry program, so went there for 2 years and then ended up at the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point for two more years, and then after that jumped into the family tree business that my dad had, and made it my full-time gig. So it was, yeah, kind of quite the whirlwind right out of high school. I was honestly pretty lost, and kind of, you know, when I was in school, you know, when I was right out of college or right out of high school, that would have been my freshman year. I looked more forward to the weekends when I could actually come home and do tree work. So that was I realized, you know, right away that, you know, hey, I enjoy this, so let's try to make it, you know, my thing. And I definitely did. So, so that's the gist of it, as I got, you know, sucked into it. So,
it's a common, Casey, that's a common theme that we hear, that, you know, we started it off, you know, not a lot of our guests are second generation, but a lot of them, once they got a taste of dealing with trees, there's something that gets you, and there's something that's unexplainable. We've tried to figure it out in the past, but so you had an opportunity to go back and work with your father. Is your father's business still in place? Is he still going for it?
Yeah. So I'm still the owner of Selmer Tree and Shrub Care here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Northeast Wisconsin.
Go Pack, go.
And and so he's still out in the field. So obviously a lot of my time is here at our obsession right now, and got a general manager in place at Selmer Tree, and so he's there basically full time on the crew. And he's actually going to be retiring come next June-ish, July-ish, when my mom gets done teaching. So they're both going to retire, and then they get to enjoy that. So I think I'm going to probably,
awesome.
Once it's his last couple of weeks, I was just thinking about this the other day, I think I'm going to go work those last 2 weeks and try to work those last 2 weeks with him, you know, and be on his crew, because I think that'd be pretty special. So I'm going to kind of, you know, mention it to them. And, you know, it's just like, you know, back when I was in, you know, probably, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, you know, kind of make it like it was him and I again, you know, for the last 2 weeks, you know, because that's kind of what started it. So might as well let it end like that, you know.
I love it.
That's so awesome. Is he's still breaking a sweat with the gang every day? Does he climb or fly a bucket?
Yep. Nope. He can still climb.
That's awesome.
You know, all of the long years of double rope definitely tore up his shoulders pretty good. Sure. But now we do have him on SRT, so that prolonged, you know, his climbing a little bit. But usually he's not so much the first guy to climb anymore, you know. But yeah, we have a couple bucket trucks and he'll run that. One of those. And then he wants nothing to do with the grapple saw. So that's pretty
a little too new for him.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't, it's a generational thing, you know, the hand eye coordination with controls, you know, that's kind of a video game thing. So it's just that type of coordination, I think is, you know, not that anybody can't learn it, you know, but he just was never that type.
Well, and what's his motivation? You know, he's had a career of climbing, busting his butt. He's built the business on what he knows, which kind of pivots us to the next part of the conversation, which is our obsession. Where did the idea come from and why?
Yeah, definitely a loaded question. But really what it was, I was a, when I was in school, I was a big Tree Stuff fanboy in the early years. And, you know, got to be good friends with the owner at the time, Luke. And then, you know, so rode that bandwagon for, you know, handful of years. And then, you know, he got out and, you know, ended up selling, which good for him, good for the family. You know, it was important. And, got to, thinking at that point, selling a tree was at a point where, it was, you know, kind of, running itself really well. And I've always was a gear nut, always was a gear nut. I actually remember, when I was at Midstate, at the time, like I was just collecting in everything I could. I knew everything, every new piece of equipment, the specs on it, you know, at the time the Hitch Climber system was really popular. And then Kevin Bingham's rope wrench, the ZK1 came out. And so I got sucked into that world early, and it kind of ties back to like working with my dad is because like I learned the old school of the old school way. And then, you know, I got into, Midstate, like just immersed myself into treebuzz.com, back in those days where it was, oh man, that TreeBuzz was everything back then. And I just got sucked into the gear side early on. And I, I had a, you know, like a professor at the time. Like I remember walking into that, like it was the first climbing class. And I mean, I had gigantic duffel bag stuff in each hand. And the funny thing was, is, you know, at the time, my professor at the time just kind of rolled his eyes, like, you know, what do you need all that stuff for? And the funny thing was when we went to go climb behind the building, and he's like, okay, you know, go attack that tree. And I think I gained some mad respect because although I had all that gear, I grabbed a ladder out of the trailer to get myself up to start because I didn't have a good, clean throw line shot. And he just thought that was like, you know, after that point, he didn't really care about all the gear I had, because he's like, I'm also like, I'm going to keep it simple. You know, like, what's my fastest way to start getting this work done? And just because I have all the gear, that doesn't mean I'm going to get lost in it to be able to do the job efficiently. And it, yeah. So then basically that kind of all transpired, and yeah, so got into this world, and
it's kind of, you know, it's listening to you, you know, you got your longevity in the trade, and you said brought a ladder out. There's such a unique position on ladders in this industry right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That guy's like, oh man, I'll never use a ladder again in my life. And I sit there, I'm kind of like you, Casey. If that's the way to do it, and it's a fat, throw one up there. But man, there's such a weird like or dislike about certain ways to ascend into a tree. And it's funny that you grabbed a ladder and your professor or instructor was proud. Like, I think out in the field now, they'd probably laugh at you if you grabbed a ladder and said, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah. No, it was, yeah, like, I just, you know, I couldn't get my, you know, or I saw that I really couldn't get my good high tie-in point with, you know, at the time I also wasn't the greatest at throw line. And so I just set it on the low limb, you know, the lowest limb that the ladder didn't reach, and, or, you know, just above where the ladder could reach. And then, so I was tied in while I was sending. And then once I got into the tree, I worked my way up and they took the ladder away. So
yeah, fantastic.
It's all that stuff is, you know, they're all tools, and, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, shy away from, you know, being efficient for the sake of, you know, whatever
looking
anybody's
cool
gonna say about it.
Yeah, you know? Mochismo.
Yeah, like I
yeah.
just yeah. I'm a production guy, and but now, you know, now it's also like, now the only thing that I really think about is like, do I really want to carry that ladder back there? You know, or will I take an extra one or two shots at that that nice tie-in point? So, no, I've become so efficient with SRT now that we don't pull a ladder off the truck much anymore anyways. So, but at the time,
it's still there.
It's still there. It's still there. Right. Yep. So
you don't see it very often, but it's okay.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we've already, Joe and I have talked about this on a past episode as it relates to climbers and bucket truck operators. If you've got the tool and it's there and it's more sustainable on your body and you can do it in a safe way, why not?
Right. You know, right. Why? Yeah, I don't work off, you know, don't really work off early or anything like that. You know, it was just a point of access at the time, but, yeah, and kind of going back, and then, so yeah, got sucked into, or always was into the gear side, and this would have been, yeah, so I started planning it in 2018 or so, and then the website went live in March of 2019. So, and then, you know, here we are in 2024. So it's
hey, coming up on 5 years.
Yep.
What is
5 years?
What has, you know, obviously, you know, the industry, what has becoming a manufacturer's rep, distributor shown you? What would be one of the biggest differences when you're doing it and you're playing with the stuff for yourself? What's a couple of things that come to mind when you think about, now that you carry it and now you represent and you're supporting the industry, what are some of the best parts about doing something like that?
Oh boy. It's the same reason, you know, I purchased it, you know, at the time for my own personal use. It was, I kind of always had that, ooh, shiny type of mindset towards gear, So I don't really feel like it's per se different. You know, obviously you have a different representation in a way. You know, you have to represent each and every manufacturer, you know, the right way, you know, how they want to be, you know, represented and branded and different things like that. So you kind of, you work off of all the different templates, you could say. And, but really it's just having the, you know, having it in front of you again, you know, and then also being able to help people with, you know, their gear purchases has always been a big thing for me. I even enjoyed that when I was a student and I wasn't really, you know, selling it or anything like that. You know, it was just my own gear, but it, the training side, the teaching side, because the biggest thing is with me, it's, I've always wanted this goal of trying to elevate the industry. You know, wherever you're at in your safety PPE, you know, if we can bring like kind of everybody up just like one level, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, man, if, you know, you just threw on a hard hat, you know, and like just tried, you know, like Bluetooth communication, you know, you don't have to be screaming at each other, you know, just try that one little thing, you know, and then it kind of, I think it betters everyone because now you look the professional part, but now you're also, you know, once you kind of get that experience of something of technology or something that you really didn't know or weren't comfortable with and it really helped you, well now, okay, let's try the next thing. And so that's super rewarding for me. And then obviously helping, you know, men, women, you know, start, you know, they start their own company and, you know, they call and, you know, ask me questions. Cause I give them a lot more credit than what, you know, I had to do. You know, I always joke, I was like, I was given a bronze spoon, you know, cause the family business was, you know, kind of already there, you know, and, but I obviously had to kind of build off of it, but being able to, you know, start your own tree service business is, I still like that business side. I really do. I like the ideas that I can give in regards to, you know, how you start from nothing to, you know, some of these people that just make them into massive companies, you know, and it's really cool to see that and also kind of be a part of that.
Well, and what a big resource that you can be, not just for the companies that you're repping for, but for these people that, and some of them, you know, it might not even be that they want to start their own business. It's, hey, Casey, you've used this equipment. Do I need in your two duffel bags, or you probably have a truckload now, but you know, do I really need these pieces or what is essential? I mean, to me, that just seems invaluable because, you know, any climber or technician out there can go onto a number of different websites and find things, but to be able to reach out to you and ask, what do you think? What do you prefer? That's got to feel great, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I'm not interested in a death match of like this product against this product and go, you know, like I, you know, it's more what situation or what are you getting yourself into that, okay, this one will excel here. This one will excel there. These are the things you got to watch out for in this situation with this device or this setup or this whatever. And so that's more my focus with a lot of this stuff. And I think that's also what, you know, fits well with, you know, me being in kind of the gear side of things now. Well, explain your situation, you know, and what your troubles are and your style of climbing changes everything. You know, are you, you know, big guy, you know, person that likes, you know, taking, is very fluid and can move very quick in a tree, Or are you more the type that is, you know, I'm more of a slower, you know, but yet I'll kind of stretch because of my height, you know, where, you know, you go to climbing comps and you just see these, you know, men, women just flying and taking these swings. And it's like, well, you might need something a little bit more dynamic, you know, versus, yeah, you know, something that, you know, you can't really move that quick with. But yeah, so that's, I enjoy that stuff. And obviously harnesses, you know, all that stuff fits people differently. And working through all of that is really fun. But I really like the business side the best.
That's pretty cool. Do you have a retail location? Do you have a showroom where guys come?
Yeah,
doors are open, yep, from 8 to 5, or is it, how do you,
yeah,
what's our obsession look like?
Yeah. So it's pretty crazy because I think about where we came from and what we have now. And our retail right now is basically the size of the office that our obsession was launched out of, which is pretty crazy. But yeah, so we got a retail location in Green Bay, Wisconsin, right off of Highway 41, and we just reworked our hours actually kind of for this year, mainly to try and condense our retail hours, just because of how much our e-commerce has grown. We want to make sure that we, you know, have enough time to be able, we're trying to manage, you know, both, and we're trying to condense our retail hours right now to kind of, you know, hopefully get the traffic in kind of in a more condensed time so that we can make sure we're caught up on splicing and shipments and all that sort of stuff by the time, you know, we have visitors, which we still love them, you know, we love people stopping in. But yeah, it's, I don't even know how much, it's probably like a 20 by 20 or 20 by 30 retail outlet, and we have like a nice climbing truss in it, bunch of stuff on you know, the retail wall, as much as we can display in the space we have, and then obviously we can pull anything that we have in stock in the back warehouse to bring up, okay, for people to try. So
because you know firsthand the old, the shiny, the bling, the new, you know, even in the industry, even if you're on the climbing side or the plant healthcare side, there's always something new to go check out, or there's something coming out, or you hear about this. It can get overwhelming, especially in your position, to, you know, you got 75 vendors and the lines you carry, and you got to carry 20 of these and 50 of those and a million spliced eyes and friction savers. Like, how do you, that's going to be,
how do you forecast?
That's going to be, when you get down to it, that's probably what makes a, or breaks a business, is having the business sense of when to say when, because you can't have it all. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've always like had a good, you know, foot on the throttle type of mentality when, you know, you kind of know when to go and when to, you know, let off a little bit, and, you know, because you're kind of planning for your turn, you know, or you're merging into a different direction or something like that. So I've done that really well with the, you know, our family tree service, and then kind of transitioned that mentality into the our obsession side. The one thing that, like, on the our obsession side that I get to do a little bit more of, is that I enjoy a lot, is the marketing side. You know, I've done a handful of it on the Selner Tree side, but there's only so much you can really do, where when you got all the gear and all the equipment and all the different color ropes and different things like that, like, I like that side of being able to, you know, like, you know, create, you know, basically in a sense, kind of like art, to be able to get people's, you know, intrigue or interest in it, you know, because that's the first part is getting people interested in it and then kind of going from there. But yeah, no, I've always had a pretty good judge of, you know, business growth and different things like that. So, yeah.
See, now we have your first quarter's coming. You're getting all the wear out. What's your first quarter looking like? How's your trade show circuit looking this year? Are you gonna wear yourself out again, or you hit a lot?
Yeah,
you hit a lot in your
yeah. You know, no, I'd like to. I had some plans, hopefully to hit just kind of by myself. I'd like to hit a couple of the local chapters. That'd be kind of nice. I haven't actually designed the booth for that, because I'd probably, you know, work a booth just by myself, kind of start hitting the road a little bit. But really haven't. Up. Yeah, really haven't 100% nailed it down yet. More just thoughts right now. The other thing that we, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we generally try to bring our conversation into a close, and trying to think what we haven't covered tonight. What piece of advice, or what would you tell somebody at any point in their career about being in the tree industry? Any advice or motivation or anything that comes to mind?
I mean, if you're not afraid to put in that sweat equity in the beginning, you know, you'd be able to figure it out. That being said, you do have to be also kind of a forward thinker, not only in business, but in, you know, the daily workflow. You know, you have to be able to almost be kind of two steps ahead in a way in your thought process before you're, you know, making a cut or rigging a piece or kind of doing all these things. Because, you know, if you don't set, like, just as a simple, you know, analogy, like, you know, if you don't set up your rigging to, you know, or you move it when it's too soon, that kind of mentality can kind of translate to the business side as well, because you got to be able to be fluid, but not get distracted from the main objective, you know. And that's the biggest thing is that it's an industry that is super rewarding, but you kind of got to be I can't even put the exact word to it, but you got to be.
It's like Bruce Lee. Be like water. Be fluid. He said be fluid.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever, that's a great, great direction. Be fluid. You know, and as you're a young, emerging a distributor, Bruce Lee was young and emerging, and that's where he came up with the same slogan. Be like water. Be fluid. Be able to make the changes. Or be able to recognize when it's time to change, and don't be afraid to change. I like it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's what I would say, but that's just, you know, business in general, really. I mean, you can't, you really can't, you gotta kind of be that. I mean, everybody kind of says it though, but like you kind of gotta be a visionary, but how do you, you know, be one without, you know, it's, I mean, there's a lot of trial and error, you know. It's, I'm not mistake proof, you know, like they're, you know, you're still learning. Yeah. They're not all home runs. You know, and that is one thing that, definitely still happens, but then at the same time, you got to be not afraid to swing too. So that's the big thing.
What a great note to end it on. That's awesome. Casey, if any of the listeners want to find out more about you or your website, we'll put a link to your website in the show notes. But do you have anything on Instagram or Twitter, anything that the kids are doing that they can find you or follow you on?
Yeah, I mean, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. We do have a TikTok, although that's a little, I'm not quite used to that. You know, you're starting to realize like, hey, I'm kind of getting old because I can't even barely use this social media platform. You know? So, yeah, we're on there. I try to post as much as I can, but Instagram is my big driver. I've enjoyed that from the beginning. And then obviously everything on Instagram feeds through Facebook. And then I'd like to do some more video on YouTube as well. So kind of all those, the bigger main ones, you can find us on. And then obviously, you know, arbsession.com. It's, you know, full Arbor supply store. And, you know, we can do some custom splicing projects for you if you got them. And yeah.
I love awesome. It. Well, keep up the great work. Again, I commend
yeah,
you
thank
on
you.
Your exposure and how well you're known in such a short period of time, because there's a lot of guys have been out there for doing this for a while, but I think it shows that there's a need for you, if that makes sense. So keep up the great work.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. It's, I'm here for, you know, taking care of, you know, all of us. That's our main goal. So yeah, I appreciate that.
Hey, great topic today.
Yes, and lots of good information.
Yeah, probably one of our best yet.
If you enjoyed the podcast or have topics you would like to discuss, please send them to discoveringforestry@gmail.com. And please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Corey.
Signing out.